if you want to turn your Bible there. Amen. Again, it is good to have everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. And I pray that God will help us today and give us some wisdom for the days to come. Amen. Man was formed by God. Anybody believe that today?
Amen.
That we as humanity was formed by God. Another scripture just came to my mind is that He knew us from the very time of conception. Before we were even born, He knows every intricate detail about us. We are formed by God. But unfortunately, we are deformed by sin and the devil. Amen. And now, because of this deformation, we must now be informed by the ministry of the Word of God, which tells us to be transformed, amen, in so many aspects, especially being transformed by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It was quite some years ago, and I was just studying. I've had so many different things on my mind. As a matter of fact, last night I had so many messages opened on my computer and reading and studying and praying. And just, God, what am I going to do? I don't know where to go. I don't have any direction. And I really felt like the Lord had just prompted me to come back to a message that I've already preached, but it's been many years ago that I preached on this message, and it is simply this: formed, deformed, informed, and transformed. If I can read to you for a moment the definitions of each of these four words, and then take a moment to preach to you from the Word of the Lord today. Amen. That formed is a shape or a structure of something as distinguished from its materials. Organized in a specific way. Organized in a specific way. Amen. The word deformed is to be distorted, not having the normal or natural shape or form. It's twisted, crippled, damaged, or even impaired. Informed means having or possessing important information, being educated, or even enlightened. Transformed is to change in composition or structure, to change outward form or appearance, to change in character. Everybody say character.
Character.
Amen. To change in character. So many times today we hear so many people that say, well, this is just who I am. But I'm going to tell you today, the Lord wants to transform some of us and change who we really are. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that can change our character. Amen. It is to change our character or condition, to be converted, or even to change one's potential. To change one's potential. So as we take this journey this morning, we'll start with being formed. Genesis chapter number 1. I have a lot of scripture to read today. So if you want to go back at a later date and highlight or mark your Bible or even take some notes on these settings of scripture, I would encourage you to do so. But on our journey, there will be a lot of scripture, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to reiterate and go over it again and again. So just to kind of quickly go with me as I lay some foundation this morning. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Do you realize today that you are designed after the Almighty God, in His likeness? It was His intention to create us in His own image. And the scripture said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed. Everybody say blessed. God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over all of these things. If you skip down to chapter number 2 and verse number 7, again it said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He shaped, he structured, amen. He used the dirt, the material, and he organized it in a specific manner. Amen. We are formed by God out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Simply this morning, I want to establish from the Word of God that we all understand God formed us. You are created in the likeness and the image of the Almighty God. What a privilege that really is. Amen. What a privilege that really is. He has an intended and a specific idea in mind for each and every one of us here today.
Yes, sir.
But then we get to the next word. We get to the next word, and this one's not very comfortable. It's not enjoyable at all, because we skip down one chapter again into Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. He was more deviant. He was more tricky than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Isn't that what God said? He said you can eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Well, listen, Eve, number one, he said don't eat of it. And you already added to the word. You already added to what God said. God didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat of it. Don't eat of it. But we all know that if you don't touch certain things, you won't taste it. Right? If you don't do certain things that go down those roads, you won't end up there. Amen. Like I've said before, I'll say again that there are oftentimes, if you start speaking certain things, I even heard it this morning in something, I don't even remember whose, I do remember whose, never mind. Even on our prayer requests, even in certain things, we can speak certain things of negativity. Let me use it like this as an example. I've been inviting this person, but they never come. You know what? Leave the they never come off.
Right.
Just say, I'm going to keep inviting them. I'm not worried about whether they come or whether they don't come. I'm just going to keep inviting them. I want them to be saved. Does anybody hear what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The scripture even tells us to speak those things, to ask, to say unto this mountain. Sometimes we got to say certain things, and it's got to be through faith. And if it works that way, then it works the opposite way. If you constantly are speaking of the negative of those that aren't coming and those that aren't doing this and those that are falling here and those that are this and that and the other, that's all you're going to be consumed with.
Amen.
Right.
And that's why even myself, I want to be careful not to capitalize on those that are not here. Because sometimes we can get to capitalizing on those that are not here and forget the those that are here.
Right.
Had somebody even say that they were frustrated because on prayer night, and this is every preacher's battle, on prayer night, less than half of the church shows up. But on prayer night, they were getting up one prayer night and they're saying, I don't know where this person is and I don't know where that person is. And all those that were sitting there were going, who cares? I showed up.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Come on. Yeah. And sometimes we'll get so frustrated on what's not being done and the negative that we speak more negative. Really, somewhat, can I say it like this? You speak it almost into existence.
Right.
You think and you speak more negatively, and that
right.
adds to more negativity.
Right. Right.
Somebody's got to get transformed here today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're deformed by the negative thinking. You're deformed by the negative thought processes, by the negative speaking.
Right.
That's right.
Man, you're being deformed.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So here you got this snake talking to you. And that was a rabbit trail, but we're already back on. It wasn't an advertisement. That helped you live for God right there. Amen. But nevertheless, we have a snake talking. First of all, that should have been our first clue something's wrong.
That's right.
A snake's talking to me. There's something definitely wrong with this. I got to get out of here.
Right.
I got to leave this situation alone. But it intrigued her. Wow, talking snake. This is pretty cool. Huh? Yeah. Very subtle, very sneaky, very deceptive. And so he begins to have this conversation, and she says, not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He plants a seed of doubt. And how many of us, even in this room today, even in this auditorium, will the enemy try to plant a seed of doubt in your mind and say, well, is that really true?
Yes.
Do I really have to do that?
Yes.
Is this really necessary? Is yes. this enough? Because that's what the devil wants to do.
That's
he
right.
just wants to plant a little yes. seed of doubt yes. into your mind so he can work on that doubt. Do I have to do this? And do I have to? No, you don't have to do anything because the devil wants you to be deformed.
That's right.
He wants you to be yes. crippled.
Yes.
He wants you to be maimed.
Right.
He wants you to be all
Amen.
Twisted up.
This
is no slight against somebody that has a physical deformity. I'm talking about in the spirit realm.
Right.
He wants to plant a seed of doubt in your mind
right.
and get you to believe things that are not true.
Right.
right.
One of them is that you can't be successful. You can't live for God. Brother Edwin even said it. I've got to realize, we all got to realize, it's not a sin to struggle.
Right.
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 Amen.
Some of y'all need to get some conviction and say,
right.
Amen. It's not a sin to struggle. That ought to just let you know you're doing what's right. I'm in the fight. Fight on. Fight on. Fight on. You just keep fighting. When you're struggling, hey, you're alive. I said you're alive. You ought to know, hey, I must be doing something right. Because if everything was all easy, there's a problem. Somewhat of a struggle.
My God.
Now, it doesn't always have to be a struggle, and there's going to be some of those times where it's not going to be a struggle.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you, all through life, life's going to bring us struggles.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes,
amen. The Bible even tells us that there's going to be persecution that's going to come.
Yes, right.
There needs to be a little bit of kickback. Amen.
Right.
Yes. That's what makes us stronger, right?
Right.
Amen. That's what makes us more resilient.
Okay.
Amen. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye, I'm going to get all, I got to hurry, because I'm still not deformed. But she saw all these things, and it was desirous to make one wise. She took of the fruit, she ate of it, and then she gave it to her husband, and he was a dummy, and ate of it too. And really, he sort of said, hey, listen, honey, talking snakes don't exist. God didn't make them that way. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, she may have eaten first, but really, I still believe it was his fault. If he was the man and he was supposed to be the leader, he should have been the one that said, come on, baby, let's get out of here. But this just ain't adding up right. Nevertheless, we'll leave that one alone. I'm not beating nobody up. It's just, something that I think about. A lot of times everybody wants to blame it on the woman. I don't blame it on her. I blame it on Adam. Adam, because the Bible said that once they did eat of it, their eyes were open. Her eyes were not opened to the way the situation was when she ate of it. But when he did, their eyes were open. So that's why I feel it's his fault. Nevertheless, amen. And so they realized they were naked. We didn't even know what naked was until just a few minutes ago. Now we got to get clothed. We got to hide ourselves. We're feeling this shame. We're feeling this guilt. And so they made the... Can you imagine? They would have had to sew a new garment at least every couple of days because green leaves only stay green so long. And then they crumble. Can you imagine the sewing factory that she would have had to be doing then? Sew these leaves together. Oh man, we gotta make something. We gotta cover ourselves up. Well, guess what? Those things are gonna dry out in a couple of days. They're gonna fall off. You're gonna have to make another set of clothes. Talking about getting a new set of clothes every day. Some of you ladies would have loved that. Every couple of days, maybe I get a new dress. Because the other one fell off and all just rotted. Well, never mind. Sorry. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. There's some of us even here today that sin has deformed some of you. And even though you're sitting here physically present, you're hiding.
Come on now.
And you're trying to go, okay, I'm gonna play it cool. I don't want that preacher to know what's going on. I don't want him to think this way. And I don't want him to get on this. And so I'm gonna look the part. I'm even going to stand up and clap my hands every once in a while so he don't think it's me.
Come on,
I don't need to think anything.
Come on.
You already know.
Yeah.
Because you're going to deny the presence of God even in of yourself. Now, I don't want God to touch me. I don't, because I'm deformed right now. Let me tell you somebody, I'm here to inform somebody so you can be transformed. Yay! And you don't have to walk around hiding. Say, well, why did you even come to church? Because some of you don't want me calling you. Saying, hey, what happened? Where you at? Everything okay? Because you don't want to have to lie to me again. Oh yeah, Pastor, everything's fine. I'm just sick. Okay. Yeah. I just tag it in. Glory. Yeah. I'll never forget the day Brother Dan missed the service when he's first starting to come to church, and I called him. And he goes, I don't believe this. He said, I've been in the Catholic Church for how many years?
A lot of years.
50 years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Nobody ever called me.
Nobody ever called me when I missed. He said, I'm barely here at this church, and that pastor, he calls me the first time I miss. What's the deal? He said, oh, they just control me. No, I care. I hope that now some people say, oh, he just wants to control your life, blah, blah, blah. Okay, no, I just won't call. That's fine. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. When I don't call, I don't care. When I call, I'm too controlling. So what do you want? Yeah. Come on. Pick up your mind. Amen. So these last two verses were not normal behavior. It was not normal for them to be hiding. It was not normal for them to, oh, God's coming. We got to get out of here. And hide. They literally were deformed, amen, from God's original plan. Remember, deformed, distorted. They had a distorted sense of understanding now. Everything was all messed up. They were enjoying when God would come and talk with them every day in the cool of the day. They enjoyed his presence. Now something has distorted their view. Sin has come in.
Yes.
Something has changed its normal shape, its normal attitude, its normal character. It's all twisted. It's messed up. They've been damaged. They're impaired now from really what God designed to do, and that was to have sweet communion on a personal level. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind that anyone who is deformed would want to be informed of any and every possibility of a transformation back to its original.
Right.
There is no doubt in my mind that every single person that has a deformity or has a disability, let's say in the physical, that they wouldn't say, that's why they make prosthesis.
Yes.
For people that lose their limbs. And that's why there's so much emphasis and so much technology being put on all of those prostheses.
Right.
Because they want to get up and walk again.
Right.
I may have lost my legs from the knee down, but I want to run a marathon again.
Amen.
I want to be able to grab a fork again. I want to be able to do that. And so, there's a desire to be normal, to be in a natural shape again. And how much more of sin, like I said the other day, that there's a hole in every one of our hearts, in every one of our lives, that you can do all kinds of things to plug that hole, but there's only one thing that will plug it, and that's Jesus Christ. That's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's the only thing that's going to make the difference in your world.
Praise God.
Amen. And so, everybody, they don't want this deformity. They don't want to be crippled. They don't want to be impaired. They don't want to be damaged. And I, just like we preached the other night, hey, everybody's been shot.
Right.
Everybody's fallen into sin and come short of the glory of God. But thank God for His forgiveness. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for restitution.
Yeah.
Amen. Speaking in the spiritual, we all should desire to be in complete harmony with our Creator, like it was intended from the very beginning. Amen. Now we must be informed because of this deformity of sin. We must be informed by the ministry of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21. 1 Corinthians 1:21 said, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Therefore it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." That word foolishness, even the two words that go with that in the original Greek was the silliness. Or even the absurdity. And sometimes it seems so absurd. It seems so silly. And especially on my part, sometimes I go, man, this is crazy. What am I doing? You say, no, you don't act like, you don't feel that way, do you, Pastor? Oh, yeah, I do. Sometimes I do. God, this is crazy. Why am I feeling like this? And why am I saying this? And this is crazy. Because it's the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. To save them that God has designed. Because you skip down to verse number 27 there. It said, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wisdom of the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." I'm telling you, God says, I'm going to take things that the world thinks is foolish, that world thinks is absurd, the world thinks is silly, and I'm going to use it to bring salvation to those that will believe. And so sometimes you may even sit there and go, man, this is crazy. Why am I? You ever felt that way, Brother Vince? Why am I even sitting here? That guy's crazy up there. Don't answer that, okay? Just let it stay in your mind. That guy's crazy. All these antics and all this, and we're laughing and we're crying and we're this and we're that, and he's saying stuff that it makes me mad, and then he says stuff that makes me happy, and what am I even here for? Do you want to be saved?
Yes.
Because it's by the foolishness of preaching that we are saved. You see, this is one place that we become in harmony with God, because God uses a man to be foolish, to be silly sometimes, to even say things that seem absurd but are helping in another way. You see, this is harmony. I'm feeding you, you're feeding me, we're working together.
Right. Amen.
Because you've got to be saved and I've got to be saved. We've got to be saved. My job is no more important than your job. My job of preaching is no more important than your job of hearing. Because if we're only hearers of the word and not doers, we're doing this in vanity. We're doing this in vain. We got to act upon the word of God that's preached. And so it's just as vital of a job for you to receive the word and hear it and act upon it as it is for me to preach it.
Amen.
This is information that we need. Titus 1, verse 2 and 3. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this, that, and the other. That's why we have preaching. You know, it's amazing that we send our kids to school for anywhere from 6 to 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But when it comes to Sunday school, we got it for 45 minutes once a week. Yeah, we go to college and we spend umpteen hours in a college classroom listening to a professor to better ourselves, to better our education, to make more money, to do all these things. But we can barely sit in the house of God for 3 or 4 hours a week combined to make sure our soul is saved.
Right.
To make sure our spirit is right. To make sure our attitude is right. I remember my dad's no preacher by no stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, our very first pastor, Brother Hickey's, he had told him on a Wednesday night, he said, "Brother Steve, I want you to teach a lesson." And I'll never forget it. I was a very young child. I don't remember exactly how old. But I remember my dad bringing a spaghetti sauce to church.
And I thought, what in the world is my dad bringing a spaghetti jar sauce for? This is crazy. Well, it just so happened to be Newman's spaghetti sauce. So. And I don't know. And I thought, what is my crazy dad is fixing to do something? And so I guess at that time, and I don't know what it was, but I guess there was an advertisement somewhere about Newman's spaghetti sauce. And somebody would say, "Is there onions in there?" And the response was, "It's in there." "Is there this in there?" "It's in there." "Is there that in there?" "It's in there." And it kept on going back and forth, that everything you need is in a jar of Newman's spaghetti sauce to make your spaghetti fantastic. Did I get anybody wanting spaghetti right now? Anybody hungry? And so I'll never forget that. But then he pulls his Bible out and he said, "You need answers for your family? It's in there. You need to know how to have peace? It's in there. You need to know how to have joy? It's in there. You need to know how to get forgiveness? It's in there. Everything you need is in the Word of God." And we've got to be informed by the ministry of the Word. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:17 said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." It didn't say that he wasn't going to baptize, but that wasn't his main objective. Amen. But that was part of the gospel that was being preached. Don't misunderstand the word. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I'm not interested. And sometimes we feel this overwhelming pressure, especially as somebody who's not very well educated. People ask me and say, "Well, what seminary school did you graduate out of?" I said, "Parker's School of Hard Knocks." They go, "Where's that at?" I said, that was under the tutelage of my pastor, that was sitting there and listening to my pastor, that was getting hands-on experience from my pastor in the office, and sometimes literally hands-on. But then nevertheless, that was when I was young, and I was hard-headed, and he was bringing forth correction and understanding and wisdom and knowledge and perfection. Glory to God, hallelujah. Nevertheless, I remember some of those things.
You know what? I'll tell you one thing I got from my pastor, and my pastor got from his pastor.
Little I.H. Terry. And you know, this is going to help somebody right here. This is going to help somebody right here. Brother Terry had an evangelist, and that evangelist was there, and Brother Terry walked out one morning, and everything in the lawn, the flower gardens, and in the parking lot was flooded. I mean, the water was everywhere. The water had been left on the night before. And Brother Terry, he walks over there, and that evangelist with him, and he said, "You see that?" And he says, "Yeah." He said, "That makes me mad. That water was left on all night long, and it flooded everything." He said, "You know what? I know who did that." And the evangelist was like, "Oh boys, that guy, whoever it is in trouble. Oh man, I feel sorry for him right now." He said, "But you know what?" He said, "I'm gonna tell you something." He said, "I can go chew him out and make his day miserable and mine miserable. But you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go over and turn the water off." And some of us just need to let certain things go and not make a big deal out of it.
Right.
Just go turn the water off. Just go take care of it. Don't make a big deal. Well, who did this? Who left this on? Who left the lights on? Who did this? And who ate food in the sanctuary? That's just one that comes to my mind. We don't eat food in the sanctuary, right? Okay. Nevertheless, you start talking about all these things, and you can make yourself miserable and go make them miserable. Sometimes it's better for you just to go turn the water.
Right.
Just clean up the mess.
That's right.
It's your house too.
Amen.
Well, bless God. Somebody needs to teach them and train them. That's what I'm doing right now.
Amen.
And there's a lot of times I got to tell my kids more than once, more than three times, more than 15 times, you need to do this. You need to do this. Now, once they start to mature a little bit, hallelujah, I don't have to tell them as often. But Lexus, I still got to tell her. Over and over and over. But one day I'm hoping she'll go to mature and I only have to tell her once and she'll go do it. That's what happens with mature Christians too.
Right. Right.
At some point we get to the place where we only got to be told once.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, there's four of you.
Just that we'll save that message for another day. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.